As we grow as a franchise, you know, I said there's 150 owners, 42 states, 300 trucks on the road, and we're all continuing to grow as well. Like last year in 2023, we did over 800,000 smashes in the year, and that's roughly about 2,250 smashes a day. So we continue to grow, and that number on a daily basis continues to go and get bigger every day. And I love seeing customers not only become customers, but become advocates for what we do and how we do it. And I love hearing customers say to us, this is one of the best services I never knew I needed.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the podcast, Caution Wide Right. It's just another trucking podcast brought to you by CNS Companies, where we help carriers stay safe and compliant on the road. I'm Luke, your host. And are you looking for a unique and cost-effective way to be environmentally friendly and save money? Well, Smash My Trash aims to be exactly that. If you haven't seen these trucks in action yet, get ready. If your trash is stacked 6 feet over that maximum fill line in your open top dumpster, well, Smash Trucks are here helping businesses in trucking, construction, distribution, manufacturing, and more from delaying dumpsters being hauled away. How? By smashing it down so it can be filled again and again. And this reduces the number of those expensive hauls. With me today is Derek Lehman, president and owner of Smash My Trash Harrisburg, PA location. Derek, welcome to the podcast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So we're just going to jump right into it. And can you tell me why the commercial waste management business is broken?
Yeah, so great question. And I liked your intro. You're a little optimistic when you say it's 6 feet over the rim, we can get it back in. We have a lot of customers that do that. And usually we can, but it's fun. So why it's broken is open top dumpsters have been around forever. And basically you fill them, they take them away. You pay money. When they're over when they're over 6 feet, they charge you extra to take it away. Sometimes you have to take it out, and it costs a lot of money. And there's a lot of trips to and from the landfill. Yep. And now imagine you're at a party at your house, and you don't want to take the garbage out because it's 30 degrees outside. What do? You take a plate, you flip it over, you push your own garbage down, right? You just smashed your trash. Yep. We do the exact same thing in open top dumpsters. So if we have a customer or a prospect that we're talking to and they're hauling 100 dumpsters a year, we can get them down to 35. So you're eliminating 65 hauls. And typically our customers are saving 20% or more after they pay for us. And they're paying through that through the reduction in those hauls. So you're saving money by reducing the hauls and compacting it. And then you're also reducing carbon emissions because that's fewer trips to and from the landfill. We can go in on a customer, and if they have 10 dumpsters, we can be in and out of there in, a couple hours. If you're going to haul 10 dumpsters, you got the better part of a day before all your dumpsters are, back and ready and back in action.
And so, it's the uniqueness of this is just you can just keep pushing it down 2-3 times probably before, then it's finally needs to be hauled away. So do you see, it depends on what the trash is, of course, but 50 to 70% push down, is that?
Yeah, so it's typically, it depends on the material, exactly right. 2-3 compactions per, before they have to haul it typically. Yeah. We have customers that, they get 75% compaction because it's pine wood and windshields. We have another customer, he does carpet remnants and he's closer to 50% compaction. Yep. But at the end of the day, we work with our customers and like I said, typically customers are saving 20% or more through using our service. It just depends on their situation. And, part of what we do with our customers is not just smashing their trash. We work with them to understand how they're using their dumpsters, their open tops, their flip tops. And we work with customers to migrate to solutions that's going to maximize savings holistically across their waste stream.
And I want to break down some of that a little bit later and talk more about, saving emissions and what that looks like. But right now, I mean, these trucks are pretty cool looking. So tell me, what is a smash truck?
Yeah, so a smash truck is basically a mobile compaction unit that is stuck on the back of a chassis. So we have a Kenworth and an International chassis, two different trucks in our fleet. And it's a smash unit that comes from Germany. And somebody, the founder, Justin Haskin, had a brother down in Texas, and he was working at a warehouse talking about all the wasted trips to and from the landfills and all the money he was spending. And he's like, they said, hey, we have this idea. We're going to take this smash unit and put it on this chassis. And that's how Smash My Trash was born. And basically, it's a 3-ton roller. It's got a motor inside the drum. It's got some teeth on it, so it can go clockwise, counterclockwise. It rips, it shreds, it doesn't slice, it doesn't dice. But what it does do is it compacts everything down, and it's zero down pressure. It's literally the weight of the roller. So a lot of hydraulics, but it's a pretty basic concept. And then we use that machine to compact everything down inside the dumpster. The one thing that's really interesting about it is, it's actually, for years, this has been something that construction companies and anybody who has an open top on their property, they may use a forklift, they may use a pettibone or a backhoe or things like that. And it works, but it beats the hell out of those dumpsters. It beats them up really bad because that's all down pressure. And those machines are not designed to do that. So you beat up your machine, could cost costly repairs, and then at the same time, you're beating up the dumpster. Where our process is, we go in, we literally do not touch the dumpster. We have a gap on either side of it. It goes in there, and it literally, I say gently, but it rolls the trash. And through that rolling process, it literally compacts it down. And it's really cool. And we love doing a challenge where we have customers that have gone in with a pettibone or a forklift, and they say, well, I just smashed it. And we say, well, okay, can we give it a shot? And they're always surprised. We typically can beat what they've just done because it's a more thorough and a more efficient process.
Yep. Faster.
Yeah.
And I know here at CNS, you know, we're all about fleet safety and smashing trash, spinning drum wheel. How does the company keep safety first on this process? Because is there debris coming up or... how do they keep, whether it's people on site and things like that, safe?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So I think it really starts with, you know, we work with CNS. We do our medical cards with you guys. We have a drug policy and some other things that we need to do and monitor through you guys. And you guys help us with that, which is great. So it starts there and having a really good foundation. And then what we do is we work, we have some different apps that we use. So we use Geotab in our world. And that basically is daily pre-trips and post-trips, monthly checkups. If there's issues, we report everything through there. So we had an issue the other day where we had a small hydraulic leak. It was an O-ring, right? Some O-rings need to be replaced out. And, you know, noted in air and things like that. Some stuff my crew can do on their own. Yeah. Some stuff we have local partners that we leverage and we work with. But one of the things that we do is we like to do monthly toolbox talks. So as a team, we sit down and we talk about, hey, cold weather operation or power lines or basic maintenance stuff. We just did a basic maintenance thing the other week of just literally going through, inspecting the boom, looking for cracks, looking at the grease, make sure the grease distribution was good. So that's we're really big on preventative maintenance.
Nice.
And by doing preventative maintenance, they're learning the truck, they're understanding, they're asking questions as a team, we're talking about it, we're having some fun. They'll push back on me as the owner and my GM and things like that and challenge us on stuff. Not in a mean way, but just trying to learn and say, well, I always thought, you know. So we really try to leverage create a learning environment and a safe environment. And so safety is number one. And then other things when we're on job sites, right, we got steel tip boots, we're wearing safety glasses, hard hats, reflective vests, because we are going in environments where there's forklifts and trucks and heavy equipment and lots of other things. And we have to, you know, make sure that we're following the rules.
Well, and then there's the technology involved in the truck itself. So on the chassis, the cab part can move forward to get to the trash. And then there's cameras
Yeah.
Around it as well, right?
Yeah. So let me go back and address a question that I didn't answer earlier. So yeah, the stuff flies out. I think people are typically very disappointed when we show up and we start smashing trash the first time. They're expecting like the Price is Right Showcase Showdown where you spin the wheel for fabulous prizes. Yeah. It doesn't move like that. No. It's actually very slow and very methodical. And they're like, that's it? And that's part of the design is we want it to be slow and methodical because we don't want to create a mess. Correct. And if we do have stuff fall out, we go around as part of our process. We actually do a pre-trip, not only a pre-smash check, so that we pull up on the lot, we back up to the dumpster. They're inspecting the dumpster. Is there any damage to the dumpster? Is the door locked? They chalk and chain wheels and tires and things like that. And then they photograph everything, right? Nice. They're looking at it. Is this can compromised? Will it, you know, will something blow out? And they have the right, the authority as the operator to veto that smash for that day. They have to document it. They have to share why. But that's part of their job. And then once they do that, then they get in. They've done their pre-trip or their pre-smash check.
Yep.
They get in the cab and they fire up the PTO. They bring the boom up and it goes up in the air 26 feet, 4 inches. Wow. Bring it back on the chain and sprocket. They bring it back to the can. And they do a photograph from the top down. So they photograph before they start smashing. One, it's for a safety thing. Two, it makes great marketing materials. And then they do the smashing. And while they're smashing, we have cameras actually recording the entire process, right? And no different than any other fleet. We have cameras on the front of our trucks when we're driving down the highway or in the cabs or, you know, multiple cameras around the vehicles from a safety point on the highway. But smashing the trash, we have two different viewpoints on the truck as well, so we can actually record the entire smash. So we can see things and the drivers, you know, observing and you know, completing the smash. And when they're done, they take an after picture, once again, because we love the before, we love the after, great marketing materials. Yep. And then we upload all that stuff and we save all that data. And that's a big process. And then when they're done, they do the same sweep around the dumpster, make sure everything's looking good. Take the photographs before of the after of the dumpster, anything that fell out, we clean up, and off we go.
It's awesome. So there is a lot of different types of stuff, materials being trashed. So obviously it could be from like pallets, you know, warehouses and things like that, you know, electronics potentially, old, you know, if it's a renovation, all kinds of random stuff. I'm just curious, what's the most satisfying thing to smash?
Wood. Yeah. Wood is good. I think pallets are probably the most fun. You always get the biggest bang for your buck with pallets. They can be 6 feet above, depending on how oversized they are. Now, we did have a situation yesterday where there were some big pallets coming in from Germany, and it was challenging. But for the most part, regular pallets and things like that are the most satisfying. I will say, though, we do some apartment complexes and retirement communities, and when they have a clean out at the end of the week, end of the month, those are pretty satisfying, too, because it's amazing how many old couches are overflowing, and when we're done, you go from 120% full down to about 30.
Yep.
So those are pretty cool, too.
That's awesome. So before we talk more about the business, you know, I know your background has a little bit of marketing in there, merchandising, a lot of other stuff. And I'm just curious, tell me a little about your background and what got you into Smash My Trash?
Yeah, so I did a corporate path. I was with Marriott for a couple of years and got the Franklin Covey old school training and was with Hershey for about 15 years. And once again, the great thing with Marriott and Hershey, process. So really understood processes and how to approach problem solving and think strategically. So those experiences were invaluable. And during that time, I was getting my master's and in business, and I was in a program where all these guys were about 20 years my senior, and we were doing Friday night case studies. And they're like, hey, you want to go smaller company, go someplace, start your own thing, do your own thing. So that kind of put the bug in my ear. And I couldn't find the right thing. So I jumped ship and I went from Hershey to a smaller company named DAS, which is a distributor. And they're part of the RoadPro family of brands. They work primarily with truck stops. They do some other stuff too, but truck stops is their bread and butter. And through that, really got to understand and learn a lot about truckers. And within the first couple of years of me being on board, I actually went out. There's a gentleman by the name of Henry Albert. He drives for Team Run Smart. And I spent a couple of days with Henry going from North Carolina, down Charlotte, North Carolina, down to San Antonio, Texas. And slept in his truck, in his bunk bed, showered at truck stops, ate in the truck. You know, we really lived the experience. And that really encapsulated a lot of the appeal of what trucking was, and it really gave me a new understanding, because it was interesting over the next 10 years as I'm working there, the number of people that ran and owned truck stops that had never showered in their own facilities, that never slept in their own parking lots. And I would throw statements out, and they would say, well, have you? And I would be like, well, yeah, I have. Yeah. You know, I mean, even something as stupid simple as, do you tip the lady who the shower attendant, do you leave a tip for her? I didn't know. I did. And, you know, Henry said, well, that was nice. What'd you leave her? And I think I left $5. And he's like, well, that was a nice tip, you know. And I think because the shower was like, you know, 15 or yep, whatever it was at the time, because I didn't have points. I didn't get to use my points. So anyway, so did that. So when this opportunity came up, it was during the pandemic. I thought it was pretty cool. I thought the name Smash My Trash, I thought it was cool. And I understood, because of my experience with DAS and trucking world, I thought there was a lot of appeal there. So it kind of crossed over some neat areas. So I jumped in and haven't looked back since. So I've been doing this full time. We've been open, up and running for about 3 years, and I've been doing this full time now for the last two.
Nice. So my background, actually, business degree, my focus was entrepreneurship, starting a business, and that mentality of understanding some of the, who knows what can come at you starting a business. And I'm just curious, what are those first couple of years been like?
I read an article about Steve Jobs and working at Apple, and the Apple employees said there was this thing called the hero shithead roller coaster. It's a little bit like that. One day it's amazing, and the other day you're like, why did I do this? Yep. Overall, it's been phenomenal. I would say the thing that I vastly underestimated was time. Time is the most, and time has always been a precious commodity. There's just not enough time in the day. And, you know, as we got into this, we got a truck. I had a driver, I had a salesman. And first salesman wasn't such a good fit for us. And we parted ways pretty shortly thereafter, him joining. And then, you know, a year and a half in, we got our second truck. And then we had to find other drivers. And now where do you find drivers? Because there's a driver shortage out there. And this is a different beast. It's not traditional truck driving. You don't need a CDL because we're under 26,000 pounds. Need customer service focus type people, yep, and all these different things. So I would say getting into it is just taking all those skills of, you know, being a manager, being a good steward of the finances, and all those lessons that I've learned at Marriott and DAS and Hershey and many other places, and you literally learning, almost relearning them in many ways, and saying, oh, that's how you do this, figuring it all out as we kind of go.
So talk about time and efficiency. The trucking world is very used to dispatchers. I'm just curious, what's that sort of dispatch management, managing, getting the trucks to different sites in a day? How many can you do?
So we target, we try to get to, it depends. Yep. We try to get to 20 to 25 smashes a day is our goal. Yep. Some days we can do more because it's a tighter route. Some days we have to, we can do fewer because of that. Or we may have a project where we may sit on somebody's lot and we're going to smash two dumpsters for, you know, 2 to 3 hours. Yep. So every day is a little bit different of a day. Today, for example, we have some preventative maintenance, and it was supposed to be done by 9 o'clock, and it's not. So I have my two drivers teaming up, and they can cover a little bit more territory today. And we're going to probably have to make some adjustments this afternoon and push a couple things either later into the day or you know, tomorrow morning. So no 2 days are ever the same. But we have a software through our franchise that we use, and ultimately I manage that on a daily basis. But we're really about maximizing efficiency. Yeah. One, because we want to keep that carbon emission reduction down. Two, the more efficient I can be, the better and more effective, the better pricing I can provide to my customers. And we work with customers multiple ways, but routed is really our preferred model because it gives the best bang for their buck, and it maximizes my time and keeps my operating cost as low as possible too.
Look, fuel and weight mileage tax management is complicated. I mean, did you know that if you ever plan to travel through Kentucky, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, and Connecticut, you must have an account and file your mileage? Or even a temporary trip permit to haul in some states? On top of this, you need to have an IFTA account to file your fuel taxes for many of the other states. And there are unique rules, exemptions, and registration requirements for each of these states. You don't want to face the heavy fines that can be imposed on carriers for not following the rules. Our team of compliance specialists can help you get licensed quickly and accurately. And our IFTA fuel tax specialists will work with you to collect your data, ensure your fuel and mileage match, prepare your filings, and even file the paperwork for you. We promise to compile and file completed IFTA tax returns on time, compile and file mileage tax returns for the Kentucky, New Mexico, New York, Oregon, and Connecticut, create detailed miles per gallon reports by truck, division, and fleet, have paper driver trip reports or paperless GPS data management, give you 24/7 access to our online portal to see past IFTA filings, give you online backup for fuel receipts and trip permits, help you with fuel tax training and tax reduction strategies, and more. Then, if you ever get audited by IFTA or the unique states, we take many specific steps in preparing you for the audit. If you have any questions or want to learn more, just call or email us, or you can fill out the form down below and one of our fuel tax specialists will help you out. There's probably a lot of companies out there that are just sitting there with overflowing dumpsters, or like their dumpster's full and then there's either bags or carpet or trash next to the dumpster waiting to eventually be done. And so it's turning into just sort of almost a wasteland at their sites. So you could probably just spend days there or hours there just, smashing that one, and they refill it up with stuff and smash that down, refill. Is that sort of how that works?
It can. We do it three ways, like I said. So routed service is really our primary way. Yeah. We just show up. They're on a route. We go there. We have customers we go to once a day. We have customers we go to once a quarter. Yep. So we can customize that to your needs. Then we have what's called on demand. And with routed, we basically show up. We're there typically smashing 7 to 10 minutes. We go in, we smash a dumpster, and we either go to the next dumpster or go to the next job site. Second way is on demand. They don't call us unless they need us. Yep. A lot of construction sites are like that. Folks that have more infrequent pools are like that. Those tend to be there a little longer because they're the ones that are typically 120% full, and they only call you when they really, really, really need you. So, and you're trying to dig out, you're trying to dig that whole dumpster from the top down. So that can be a little bit more challenging. And then the third way is project smash is kind of like what you described, where they may have a lot of stuff, a lot of material, and we'll literally go and we'll park and we'll sit there and we'll smash it. We'll build a layer. They add more stuff. We smash some more. So some customers do that. That's the most expensive option. But, in a couple hours, you can clean up a big yard, or you can do product destruction, where you need a certificate of destruction, which we can provide. And then you go through a lot of material in a very, very quick manner. Yep. What most customers tell us is the first thing when we meet them when they're not a customer is, didn't know you existed. Yeah. The second thing they tell us is, there's no way in hell you're going to do what you say you're going to do. The third thing they say once they become a customer is, like, usually 2 to 3, let's call it a month into the process, this is one of the best value-add services I didn't know I needed. And the reason is because over time, they stop having to have these junk drawers or these junk corners of their property or their facility, yep. And they're now just putting the stuff in the dumpster, and they're able to stay on top of it. So we're able to actually work with them, and then they get cleaner facilities. And then we work with customers where sometimes they get more dumpsters as a result of using us. Sometimes they need less. Sometimes they upgrade in size from a 20-yarder to a 30 or from a 30 to a 40. So the customer really values that because what it does is it lets them focus on revenue-generating activities rather than touching the trash multiple times. Yep.
So, you know, Smash My Trash is a franchise. I believe there's like 150 franchises out there. And then you guys are in Harrisburg, PA. How far out do you travel?
Yep. So there's 150 owners, 42 okay. states, about 300 trucks on the road. So I'm not sure I'm not quite sure the number of territories exactly, but we're all over the U.S.
Yep.
We've been doing this for about 4 years as a franchise. Biggest growth occurred right after the pandemic because we were all in our houses and said, this is a great idea. Our territory, we just recently expanded after the first of the year. So we now go from Mechanicsburg over in Cumberland County, Northern York County, like down in the Lewisberry area, and then we service Dauphin, Lebanon, and northern portion of like Lancaster County, like just north of Route 30 in that area and stuff like that.
Very cool. Yeah. And you know, you mentioned, you know, that a couple of different ways of, you know, the industry and the that you work with, you know, construction. So I was thinking, you know, is it relatively cyclical in nature? But then I'm also thinking, I mean, there can be, you know, if there's natural disasters and other things like that, then there's, I don't know, restoration, or, you know, if there's like, say, a flood in the area, then there's a lot of that kind of recovery aspect to it as well. People pulling stuff out and needing stuff being smushed down. Have you had to deal with that around here at all?
Not with the industries we serve. Those are absolutely industries we do serve. Just as we've been getting started, we don't have a strong presence with that yet.
Yeah.
We would love that presence. So if anybody out there would love to talk to us, we'd love to talk to you. But yeah, that's something. And you know, in the cyclical nature, you know, we work with different companies where they may do roofing, and you know, their volume's super high in the spring and the summer, and not so much in the winter. And we adjust to meet that need. The cool thing about the mobile compaction aspect of what we do is we can go anywhere to any job site. So, you know, you're not limited to, you know, and stationary compactors have a place in what they do, and a lot of customers have them. You know, a lot of food manufacturing and things like that have these stationary compactors. But we're not stationary. We're able to go to job sites. So if you have a situation where they're doing remediation and clean outs or fire damage or things like that, and it's at an address in Lititz, we can come to Lititz, or we can go to Mechanicsburg, and we can come to those job sites, and we've done that quite frequently. So that's one of the cool aspects of the mobile compaction. The other cool aspect of the mobile compaction is when that stationary compactor goes down, we help a lot of customers out that way too, because they need an open top dumpster and they still have garbage.
Yep.
And we come in there and we service them while their stationary compactor is broken.
Nice. So we touched a little bit at the beginning that mobile trash compaction can be help with the green distribution, green you know, trucking, and reducing CO2 emissions. I believe I just looked at the website, 2023, across the whole company with Smash My Trash, I see that 430,000 unnecessary hauls were eliminated, and basically 76 million pounds of CO2 reduced from this process. And I'm just curious, how does it reduce that cost? How does it reduce that environmental impact?
So basically what we're doing, so if you go back to the number I said earlier, if you're doing 100 hauls, and that's before Smash My Trash, and now all of a sudden you're able to reduce that number down to 35, first you're going to save money by doing that. Yep. The second thing is, if you're driving 20 miles each way to a landfill, that's a 40-mile round trip per dumpster. So take those 40 miles and multiply it times those 65 hauls that you've eliminated. That's how you start to see the savings, yep. Right? My truck, if I'm going out, and let's just say I'm hitting 20 dumpsters a day, I'm typically driving about 100 miles round trip through on a typical day, sometimes less, sometimes more. I can hit 20 dumpsters within 100 miles. If a hauler is hitting those same 20 dumpsters, just understand the multiplying factor because of the trips to and from each, yep. For each can to and from the landfill. So 40 miles per dumpster, times 20 dumpsters, that's a lot of miles that you're driving, right? So it's almost like an 8-to-1 ratio of what they're spending on mileage in a day versus what I would do. So yeah, there's a big difference.
Well, and then there's the landfills themselves. I mean, thinking about that trash that hasn't been compacted yet, you're filling up that landfill just that much more quicker, where if you're smushing the trash down and it's much more compacted, by the time it gets there, that space is being reduced. The longevity of those locations is improved over time too.
Absolutely. Plus, when you go to landfill, just the waiting time to get access, whether it's a transfer station, an incinerator, a landfill, you don't just pull up and they say, "Oh, go ahead back in, you're good to go." You typically are going to wait some time too, right? Could be a half hour, could be more. So you eliminate a lot of that idle time as well. We create more efficiency through that time as well for the process.
That's awesome. Now, I am curious, so part of CNS, we have CNS insurance. We help carriers get quotes for their insurance and different coverages out there. And I'm just curious, with a vehicle with a big spike drum on the back, is there any kind of like special insurance coverage that you have to think about, that you have to get covered?
So no. So we literally have just an industrial type of insurance policy. The various owners across the states, it's one of those things where a lot of us started with Progressive just because they were actually very progressive. It's one of those things where what I did was I have a local insurance agent that I use for my business needs, and I literally got him out to see the truck so he could understand it, so he could touch it, see it. He's come out. He's actually seen this thing in action and how it smashes. He saw that it wasn't a spin the wheel, fabulous prizes. It was actually a very controlled process. And that was actually really an important part of the process was, so he became our advocate as we were trying to find a solution to go in there and get us a competitive rate with a competitive carrier.
Well, then it helps too with the safety pieces involved. You mentioned Geotab with the ELD or the helping with the preventative maintenance and pre-trip type of stuff. You've got the cameras on there. You've got processes in place and keeping the sites safe. So all of that kind of stuff sort of helps build up that safety story that you're trying to tell to insurance. So it just makes sense. That's awesome. I am curious. So, we touched on driving, driver shortage in the trucking industry. Always an interesting topic, especially safe drivers. And I'm just curious, what's the hiring, a training, it's a non-CDL transport. What kind of people do you look for, because you're training them not only to drive the vehicle for the routes, but then of course the operating, the smashing of it. What do you look for? How do you look for people?
Yeah, so we look for character, we look for drive and determination, we look for competence. We're not hiring just traditional drivers, because we don't just drive. We literally, you're actually also having to smash trash, which means every time so if you're doing 20 dumpsters a day, you're going to be climbing up and down the stairs of the truck or the ladder and out of the smash cab approximately 4 times per stop. Yep. So that's 80 trips up and down these little ladders, and you need to be able to maneuver that, right? So that's part of the thing. And I'm the backup to the backup driver, and I can tell you I don't drive that often, but when I do and I come home at the end of the day, I'm tired. It's a tiring day, but it's a fun day. So what we do is we look at that character and the determination, and we literally just hired somebody about a year and a half ago. I was looking for my second driver for my truck, and I was having a heck of a time finding that right fit. Right. I mean, the challenge now, people calling you back, people showing up for interviews. So we did a visit to our local Spooky Nook complex. They had a job fair. And I met this young lady who her background was in healthcare, and she was a home health aide, and she was looking to make a change. She'd actually was between jobs, and she was looking to make a change. And she stopped, and we talked for a while, and we ended up, it was a good fit. She was interested in learning more. And I'm not looking for expert mechanics. I'm just looking for people that are willing, that can be safe drivers, that have good customer service skills, good communication, because that's critical, and are willing to learn some basics about just some basic things and some basic field we'll call them bush fixes, right, that you may or may not have to do to kind of get through the day. And we ended up hiring her. And, you know, her process was literally day one was in the truck. And we had two new folks that were starting that day. So my GM went with one of the drivers. I went with her. And the first day was she just rode past. She rode shotgun. And all we focused on day one was the smash machine. And day two was a smash machine. And we really focused on learning how to smash and get that down. And then once we got that process down, then we focused and moved it over to the truck and learning about the air brakes and learning about, you know, just what the different instruments were and where the def goes and versus the diesel and, you know, all those little things, right? How to do a basic pre-trip inspection. What does that look like? And walking through all the steps of that process. So we really... We may do a little overkill as far as the onboarding and the training up front, but I'm a big believer of the fact that if you do that, it's going to pay dividends down the line.
And
part of what we did too was we gave her and our new any new hire, we give them a couple days up front where they spend some time in the vehicles, and then we give them a day or two at home where they can just do self-study online, looking at the manuals, looking at the videos. Now they've seen it, they've touched it, they have a better reference to be able to go in there and really kind of learn it and understand it. And then they come back out with us and then we do more of that. And then once they're up and running, then they go out on their own. And, you know, and that first day is a little nervous for me and for them.
I'm sure.
You know, they're almost $300,000 machines. But, you know, they get out there and they do it. And I'll never forget, her name's Jocelyn. And Jocelyn was out driving truck, and she called me. I think it was maybe, I don't know, a month into her doing it solo. And somebody, one of our customers, we had two dumpsters, came out to her one day. And first of all, the fact that she's a female driver, right? I think it's just, you know, whatever. It's like somewhere between 5% and 10% of our female drivers. I don't know the exact stat, but so that's a unique thing. But a female driver that smashes trash is even weirder. And anyway, somebody came out to her and said to her, "Hey, I didn't know how you were going to do a couple weeks ago, just how you backed up to these dumpsters, but you just did that like a pro."
Yeah.
And she called me and she's like, "That made my day." Oh, she's like, "That was awesome." Right. And then a couple months later, she was at a job site and the chain, there's a chain and a sprocket, and that's how we pull the sled back. And there's a pin, which it's a weak point in the design, but we have spares, and it broke. And she called me, and I was an hour and a half away, and I said, "Well, let's get on FaceTime, and we're going to walk you through how to do it." And she did it, and she fixed it, and she got it up and running, and you know, that's the empowerment. That's her transitioning from, she's not a home health aide anymore. Now she's an operator. She's a driver. The other thing we did that I did specifically with her was we have a female driver in Cleveland. Her name's Gracie. Before my gal Jocelyn started, I talked to the owner out in Cleveland and I said, "Hey, could I connect the two of them? I'd like to create this mentee-mentor relationship." So we've done that and they've become great friends and great resources for each other. So I think that's really an important thing too, is creating that collaboration and that framework. So you create a safe space for them to learn. You create a space where I let them challenge me if there's something they don't understand, or they're like, "Hey, have you ever thought about doing it this way?" And then giving them the resources and tools beyond just having to work through, you know, me, the owner, whether it's a fellow teammate or, you know, an extension of our team, you know, with a mentor out in, you know, Cleveland, Ohio.
Yep, that's incredible. Now, I know... we touched a little bit of this at the beginning, sort of addressed a waste audit. And I'm curious, like, if I'm a construction company, maybe I have a dumpster on site, maybe a couple of different dumpsters on sites at different locations. Maybe I'm a warehouse, whatever, have 10 open dumpsters there on site. I'm just curious, what does a waste audit look like and how can that help my business?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the things we do is when we work with customers, we love to give them free demos, right? The free demo is great for a couple reasons. One, they don't know what we are. They never seen it. They think they may know once they see the truck, but they don't know. So it gets them a chance to see the process. Two, it gives me an opportunity to see how other material compacts, right?
Yeah.
Because what they'll tell you one thing, and that may or may not be accurate, because honestly, they don't focus on the garbage. They have 1,000 other priorities, and trash, believe it or not, is not number one. It's not even in the top 10. Okay. So what we do with waste audits, we offer this up to every customer. We do the demo, we go in, and then part of the process is we'll actually offer up to look at invoices. And some customers are more than happy to share those. Some customers are very hesitant to share those because they feel that we're going to glean something that's valuable or whatever off of there. But what we typically do is every invoice from every hauler is a little bit different. And there's a lot of fees, right? There could be fees for environmental surcharges. There could be fuel surcharges. There could be pull fees. There's a variety of fees, and everybody's calculated different. You may have dumpsters where you get a 2-ton minimum included as part of your cost. I may have no tonnage built in. I just had a customer the other day. We're going to save him roughly $35,000 annually because when we looked at his invoices, he only had two charges. One charge was a haul cost. The other charge was a tonnage cost. And his tonnage cost was the same number every single month. And it was a high number. It was a big number. And it didn't change. And I said, it looks like to me, you're getting tonnage built into that. I said, can you go find out how many tons are building into your dumpster? He said, sure. So we went in and we found out he was getting 4 tons included as part of his tonnage. I said, can you go back and tell them that you want to see how much tonnage you're actually putting in your dumpster?
Yep.
He was averaging less than a ton per dumpster. So he was getting charged for 4 tons every single time, and he was using less than 25% of that.
Yep.
So it was hundreds of dollars every haul, every week, every month that he was paying for. So we can go in and uncover things like that in their waste audits. We look at like where they're, how they're being charged. We educate them on how they're being charged. We ask questions. Hey, you have open tops. You also have these smaller 8-yard, 10 yards. What are you using that for exactly? In one situation, we had a customer who actually had called us. They found us, and they were spending a lot of money in waste. And they said, we use those smaller cans as our relief valve. So when these are full, we have another place for it to go so it doesn't have to go on the ground.
Yep.
I said to them, I'm like, hey, with us, we become your relief valve. You can probably get rid of those. And they were spending $125 every time they came to do those cans each.
Wow.
Let's just say they were spending about $2,000 a month on those extra cans. So they not only paid for us out of the, by eliminating those cans, they paid for our service, and they were able to put some of the money back in their pocket.
Yep.
So that's part of the waste audit, is really looking at what they're doing, how they're doing it. Is there a better way? Is there a more efficient way? And just really asking questions so that we can help them maximize their savings.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm curious, it's a few years in now, you got 2 trucks out there. Do you plan on expanding that?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, as we scale up, we're continuing to grow and hopefully within the year, we're going to have that 3rd truck. Absolutely.
Awesome. And you said the trucks come from Germany, or at least the chassis part, right?
The smash unit comes from Germany. The chassis, currently they're using Kenworth and Internationals. So
that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And then they get rigged in Indiana somewhere. I would just say, I think as we've done this journey, as I've gotten through this journey, I appreciate folks like CNS, and we work with like Lancaster County Career. They helped us with a program with Jocelyn and one of my other drivers, and whether it's your insurance, your bank, or whoever it is, it's really amazing to leverage great partnerships, and that's really been a huge part of our success, is getting in there and leveraging those partnerships and those relationships, and then building out this network. And we're continuing to build the network out, but just the I would just say the camaraderie, the positivity. It's really, we're lucky here in the Lancaster area with the community that we have and how supportive everybody is of us as a whole. I think one of the things I would just, which was interesting, is as we grow as a franchise, I said there's 150 owners, 42 states, 300 trucks on the road, and we're all continuing to grow as well. Like last year in 2023, we did over 800,000 smashes in the year. And that's roughly about 2,250 smashes a day. So we continue to grow, and that number on a daily basis continues to go and get bigger every day. And I love seeing customers not only become customers, but become advocates for what we do and how we do it. And I love hearing customers say to us, this is one of the best services I never knew I needed. And seeing the results through the yards, through the savings, through the reduction in the emissions, just making their life a little bit easier on a category of garbage, right? And forging those relationships. So thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Of course. And so around here, if we don't see the trucks around, are you around involved in different associations?
Yeah, so we're continuing to evolve that a little bit, right? So currently I'm a member of the Elizabethtown Chamber of Commerce. Mm-hmm. I live in Elizabethtown. I'm active with ABC. Yep. So we that's a great community of folks in the construction world, and continuing to evolve and evaluate other agencies and groups that we touch.
And speaking of which, Truck Driving Championships coming up June 7th and 8th, just a month away. Safety focused, fun, trying to get as close as you can to basically hitting a pole, right? You want to stay away from it. They're trying to measure how close you can get to it before hitting it. If you want to test that out or just have fun doing it, we're going to be live streaming the event live. So you can also watch that, our YouTube channel, or the PMTA's Facebook page, but you can go, check that out. We'll have a link down in the description. You can unlock savings with mobile waste compaction. You can call Smash My Trash Harrisburg East at 717-884-8188 and start saving today. You can also unlock savings and improve fleet safety and compliance by working with CNS. If you want to learn more about that, we got a link down in the bio below. Derek, thank you again for coming on. Fascinating story. Way more involved in the company than just smashing trash, which I love seeing and love hearing. So thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And as always, stay safe out there.